Well, it's good to have all of you here this morning. Wasn't the kids great? That's just so precious, so very, very precious, and precious in His sight as well. Well, let's pray. Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts through Your Word this morning. I thank You for each and every person who is here, each family line who is here this morning. And I ask, Father, that from Your Word that You would give each of us the portion that we need. And I'm amazed, Lord, at how You can do that. And we know Your Word is powerful. Your Word is settled forever in the heavens. And I pray the Holy Spirit, that You would have Your way. Lord Jesus, be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, this will be the third week that I've been on this little series called Something Fishy. And it's amazing the treasures that we find around some of these, fishing stories or occurrences of fish in the New Testament. It didn't really start out as a series, but it's become one. And so this morning we're going to be looking at another occasion in the life of the Lord Jesus and His disciples where fish played a role. But more than that, we want to step into their sandals and we want to find some application, truth, some power through their experiences and the truths around their experiences that will help us live the life that God created us to live. I heard a little parable about an eagle that was sitting up high in a tree, and a rabbit came by, and the rabbit saw the eagle and asked him, "Can I also sit like you and do nothing?" And the eagle said, "Why, sure you can." So the rabbit went down under the tree and sat there and did nothing for a little bit. And then a fox came and ate the rabbit up. And the moral of that story is, unless you're very high up, you can't just sit around and do nothing. Well, our Lord is high and lifted up, isn't He? And I want to tell you this morning, He's, to say it in a country way, He's not doing nothing. He is always working. And as you can see on the slide this morning, remember that God is working even when what you're doing isn't working. And we're going to see why that's important this morning from this story. So what we're going to do today, instead of reading all the scriptures, then sharing out of that, I just want to read a few verses and we'll talk about that and move through the story together. But the punchline is this is the occasion when Jesus told the disciples to cast the net on the other side of the boat after they had been fishing all night, and they got a massive haul of fish and a deeper revelation of Jesus. So let's look at some scripture in John chapter 21. This, by the way, this is the very last chapter in John's gospel. And also, by the way, in Luke chapter 5, there's another story very similar to this where Jesus told them to launch out into the deep after they had caught nothing all night and they had a big pool of fish. This is a different story, but twice. Now, that's going to become important at the end because Jesus kind of started the ministry of Peter and Andrew and James and John out of that occasion when He multiplied the fish. And you'll remember that at the crucifixion, right prior to that, Peter denied the Lord. He went out, he was broken, he wept. And John 21 is the occasion when he was restored. So let's step into this story, John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again. This is after His resurrection. This will actually be the third occasion, we're told, that He appears to His disciples after He had been raised from the dead. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is also called the Sea of Galilee in the Scripture. It's called the Sea of Gennesaret. Same place, the Lake of Gennesaret. He was at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way He showed Himself. Now, He's going to tell us how that happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that would have been James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. So there's seven of these disciples who go fishing. In verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Peter said, "Let's go fishing, guys. We're in. We're with you." They go fishing. They fish all night, and they catch nothing. So the first thing I want you to notice is these seven guys go fishing. And if you do a little investigation in the Scripture, most of them were by trade fishermen. Okay? So let's move on. Verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, "We are going with you also." Now we're picking up. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So they fished all night, hit a wall, caught nothing. Caught nothing. Now let me ask you, have you ever been in one of those seasons where you, quote, fished all night, end quote, caught nothing, hit a wall? Now here's something interesting to note. These guys, they were where they needed to be. Well, Peter went fishing. He was called to preach the gospel. He said, "I go a fishing." And sometimes we think, well, you know, he's going back to what he knew. He was. He still needed to eat. His family needed to eat. He needed to provide. Same was the situation with these other guys. And they must have been where they needed to be because Jesus was at the shore, and this is where he does something great for them. So I don't want to see this as a negative thing that they're going back fishing. Jesus has resurrected. They're still trying to put the dots together of what all this means. And he's appeared to them a couple of times. So they go fishing. And they hit a wall. And they catch nothing. They're where they needed to be. They were doing what they knew to do. And there's times in our lives when we feel like, you know, I think I've heard God. And I'm where he wants me to be right now. And as far as I know, I'm doing what I know to do. Folks, there's always the place where we do what we know to do. Men ought always to pray. You know, there's some general principles in Scripture. When you get in a season, you're where you think the Lord wants you to be, as best as you know, and you're doing what you know to do. In other words, you're praying, you're seeking God, you're walking in love, you're trying to be led by the Holy Spirit, you're trying to be obedient. And yet, nothing's happened. You're not seeing your prayer answer. You're not seeing your breakthrough. You're needing the miracle that hadn't arrived yet. And yet, you feel like you've just hit a wall. And that's where doubt can come in. Have I missed God? That's where unbelief can come in. Well, maybe this doesn't work. All those kind of things will start pummeling you in those seasons, in those circumstances. And these disciples, they were where they needed to be. They were doing what they knew to do. And they hit a wall. They had caught nothing all night long. And by the way, these guys, they knew how to fish. They had made their living fishing. There's a lot of difference in someone getting, as we would say, a hankering to go fishing, and someone who knows how to fish. I remember a while back, one of our elders, David Clark, who is I'm just going to brag on you, Brother David, wherever you are. He's quite a fisherman. So he invited me fishing, and because I'd heard about him catching these big stripe down by the dam. And I said, well, I'd like to go sometime. So he got back. He said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to meet you. I forgot what day it was, say Tuesday morning. He said, but now, I'm going to meet you here, you know, about 5:45. We need to get down there and start fishing about 6. They'll start hitting about 6 o'clock, but they'll quit biting at 7. And I'm thinking, I didn't know that's the way that worked. So we went down to Wilson Dam, and sure enough, we got out on the water about fishing, and about 6 o'clock, and started fishing. Folks, it wasn't a fishing trip. It was a catching trip. I tell them, you're not a fisherman, you're a catcher. I mean, 6 o'clock they started hitting, catching fish. I mean, you know, 4, 5, 6 pound striped bass, just one after the other. Of course, I got mixed up. I caught a bird. I did. You can ask. I caught a bird. We had to reel it in and had to take the hook out of its beak. I caught a bird. But it was amazing. And so there's a difference between someone just stepping out trying to do something they don't know anything about. Sometimes God will lead you to do that. But these guys were doing what they knew well how to do, and yet it didn't work. Now, a little sidebar here. Sometimes in our journey and walk with God, when we've seen Him move in powerful ways, and we're in a similar situation, we think, well, God's going to move in this way, and we try, and it hit a wall. He's teaching us to be led by the Spirit, not relying on some formula we're trying to put together. I do A, and then I do B, and God has to do C. You don't do God that way. He says we're to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And He said in John 5, I only do what I see my Father doing. The things that I say, that's what the Father says, basically is what He's saying. In other words, day by day, situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance, He had an ear to hear what the Father was saying. He was trying to live prophetically so He could see what Father was showing Him. That's the way He lived His life. Now these disciples, they're out fishing and they're good fishermen, but it's not working. Something's going to have to happen. So let's move on into the Scripture and see what might happen. I want to say to you, you see, you may be closer to your miracle than you think. You're where God wants you to be. You're doing what, as much as you know, what you know to do. You're trying to do what you can do. You may be closer this morning to your miracle than you think you are. Thomas Edison, you know, that invented the light bulb, and actually he walked the streets of Florence, Alabama. Do you know that? Yeah, hung out down at Court Street down around 1917, 18 to 1920, right during that range. But he was asked one time about failure. He said, and let me quote him, he said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Remember, Abraham, by patient endurance, obtained the promise. Sometimes we may quit one day short of our miracle. We may give up one step shy of our breakthrough. You may be closer to your miracle than you think this morning. You're where you think God wants you to be. You're doing what you think you need to do. You may be closer than you realize, and I wanted to encourage you with that. And we see here, it says, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Sometimes He's hanging out really close, and we don't have a clue He's about to do something. That's just the truth. Well, we know He's close all the time, but you know what I'm saying. He's ready to do a miracle. Verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? He's not trying to gain information here. He knows the answer to that question. They answered Him, no. And He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They were closer to their miracle than they thought they were. Now, I would suspect the average fishing boat like they would have been in that time would have been 4, maybe 5 feet wide. So we're talking about, in order to cast on that side, that means you've got to turn around. And they did. That's a picture of repentance. You know, maybe a repentance from doing it the way we've always done it. Doing it the way we think it ought to be done. Doing it the way that we know how to do it. And getting a word from the Lord and doing it His way. Kaboomba! The miracle comes. The miracle comes. And doing something else after doing what you've been doing doesn't work may often be the way that God's going to lead you to get your breakthrough. Because it requires a reliance upon Him. And the key is always, is it Him? They didn't know it was Him when He said this. And they responded and got their breakthrough. What they were looking for, literally, was right under their noses. Just a small adjustment brought their breakthrough. Now, again, I really want this message to encourage folks in this house this morning. Sometimes we think we're not getting a breakthrough, and the enemy will come, and he can lead us to a pity party he's going to, and we'll follow him, and we can get in this emotional state, get our mind off of the life of faith, and we'll get our feelings all stirred up, and we can really get down on, quote, ourselves in a wrong way. And like, well, why would the Lord want to bless me anyway? Who am I? And, you know, you get into that place. But it was really a small adjustment for them. They were already in the boat. They were in the right place. They had the right equipment. They had the net. They even had the knowledge to know how to use the net. All of that was already there. Just a small adjustment to all that they had already learned, all that God had already taught them, but the willingness just to do it a little differently brought their breakthrough. They cast on the other side of the boat. More happened when this one word came from the mouth of the Lord, more happened than all their night-long efforts and toil had been able to produce. Now, by principle, and you've heard me say this, and I believe it's true, more can happen in a single moment when the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the breath of God is breathing on something that can happen in a lifetime of our best and most noble human efforts. One thing we've been learning in this series, almost in every one of these stories, is God willing, His willingness to partner with us and our willingness to partner with Him. Notice how Jesus is partnering with what they knew how to do. He could have said, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And if they didn't do that, there would have been no fish. Or he said, cast again. We won't worry about where. We'll just cast it where we've been casting it and expect it. No. The word was cast on the other side. Explicit obedience to the Lord. And another thing we've been seeing is the Lord will do things that will shock your expectations. Like taking those two fish we saw last week and a few loaves and feeding thousands. It's amazing what a single word from the Lord can do. And often it may just be a small adjustment that's required. Do you know something like just a husband and a wife agreeing to pray together at least once every day? What great blessings that could bring into your family life. You know the blessings that might come into your life just deciding, I'm going to begin to give out of what the Lord's blessed. I'm going to give back to Him. You know the blessing that can bring into your life? Just some adjustments that bring you into a place of obedience. You know what? I'm going to become more faithful to connect with other believers. That adjustment can bring great blessing into your life. A lot of times, what the Lord requires of us to position us to get the net full, the big load, the breakthrough, what we've really been praying for, only requires some small steps of obedience on our part. He makes up the difference. He does for us what we can't do for ourselves. But many times, He requires our step of faith to flip the switch for that to happen. You may be closer right now to your miracle than you realize you are. One prayer of repentance. Giving up that one habit. Letting go of that event that made you bitter. Boom! Things change. Heaven opens. Prayers are answered. The breakthrough comes. Most of us have been to a chiropractor before. I know there's a... Every now and then, I got kicked in my lower back in a football game my senior year of high school. That probably kept me out of the NFL, but... No. Just kidding. That's that carnal nature rising up. But every now and then, I may bend a certain way, or I've sneezed before. And I mean, I can't do anything. But I can go to the chiropractor, and because there's just a little misalignment there. You know? And usually it's something like where maybe a disc is getting on a nerve. You might be here this morning, somebody's standing on your last nerve. Just a little adjustment, and you'll be able to deal with it. But you can go to the chiropractor, and they can tweak you, and then, release. We in the realm of the Spirit, there are alignments and adjustments that are required of us to stay in the center of God's plan for our lives. Sometimes it's answering a call into this type of ministry. Sometimes it's, well, I want you to be a part of this fellowship. I want you to begin giving this much. I want you to be in this small group. Whatever it is. As these children sit here, what a beautiful sight. I'm thinking about Mary and Joseph. And Mary's response when the Lord told her as a virgin she was going to bring forth a child. Be it done unto me according to your word. If we could have a Mary heart, that Mary type of heart positions us for the miracle. And you may be closer right now than you think you are. Just some small adjustments need to take place. And that brings us to the last thing I really want to point out this morning. And that has to do with the confirming word of restoration. What do you mean restoration? Because I want you to see the big picture. I want you to see the big picture. Peter was a broken man. He had wept bitterly. He had denied Jesus 3 times after bragging about how he had never let anything happen to Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, tonight before the rooster crows, you know, you're going to deny me 3 times. Remember that? And the scripture says, Peter denied that 3rd time and then the rooster crowed and he looked and he saw Jesus. They arrested him. He failed. So part of this, I'm going fishing. There's a sense in which he is going back to what he had done before, but you can almost see Peter like he thinks it's over. What's left now? I bragged about how I wouldn't let anything happen to Jesus, and then I lied to a little girl in a fire, denied even knowing him. He's down. He's broken. Now they're out fishing, toiling all night. There's no blessing on it. Hadn't caught anything. But they're finding out, oh, we're in the right place for what we really need. Because when they cast that net out and they filled that net up, we're told in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which one was that? John. See, John's the one writing the Gospel of John. So he didn't even mention his name. Isn't that interesting? John knew who he was. He knew he was the disciple Jesus loved. And who was it that was able to discern that the man over there on the shore, they didn't know who that was telling him to do that. John discerned it was Jesus. He knew he was loved. His awareness of identity positioned him to have the discernment to recognize Jesus was at work in this situation. Peter's still recovering. He's got to have his legs set back up under him. Peter, who was the most outspoken, most vocal, You see, John's the love guy. Intimacy with Jesus. And we see that he's the youngest disciple. But Peter was the action guy. And that's beautiful in its own right that among these disciples, they could be so different. One of them was a zealot that had been become a follower of Jesus, a terrorist, so to speak. And he had a whole bunch of different kind of guys. And here's John, the intimate one and the discerning one. You know, John's putting things together because in Luke 5, it was on a day when Jesus had been teaching, and he tells Peter, and you got Peter, James, and John, like, hey, can I? They're washing their nets. They had fished all night, and they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus goes over, hey, can I use your boat? He gets in the boat, and they take him out, and Jesus begins to teach. When he got through teaching, you know, they'd let Jesus use their boat. Jesus wasn't going to send them home with an empty boat. He said, I'll tell you what, launch out into the deep. Did the same thing. Throw your net in here. And they got a net full of fish they could hardly pull in. That's just Jesus' heart. John, you know, when this happened, when the man said, hey, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Since you hadn't caught anything, try the other side of the boat. They do, and they get this big catch a fish. John, like, wait a minute. This has happened before. It's the Lord. You don't see Peter arguing with John, do you? You see Peter diving in. It says he put on his, we'd say tunic, literally in the Greek. Peter was, I mean, at the very least he was down to his loincloth. He threw on some clothes and he dove in and started swimming for shore when he found out it was Jesus. Now, we're not going to read the rest of that scripture, but if you were to read on, because I want to bring this slide in home in here a moment, but you'll find out that they got to the seashore and Jesus had fish a-frying and some bread awaiting. And they had caught 153 large fish. Big fish. I mean, enough to feed folks for quite a while. I one time did a whole message just on the meaning of that 153. But it's a bunch, and it's got significance in it. But Jesus says, bring your fish now. And he threw some of their fish in the fire. He fed them. This is Jesus in a resurrection body. And theologically, this is important information here, because it wasn't Jesus was a spirit who had the form of a body, like the Gnostics would teach. The incarnation is so important. God became a man. That's what the meaning of Christmas is. God with us, Emmanuel. God became a man. And when he died and God raised him from the dead, Jesus was given a material but yet glorified human body. He told Thomas, touch my hands where these nails went in. And here, he's frying fish, making bread, and feeding his disciples, and they have a meal together. This also is a post-resurrection miracle that is performed by our Lord Jesus, verifying to those disciples, hey, I'm still the one that gives you the word that will bring the power. He's a glorified, just like you're going to have a glorified body as a believer at the resurrection that transcends the limitations of this material world, yet it is a material body. There's a lot in that. But back to the message. John realizes this has happened before, tells Peter. Peter dives in and swims to shore. And I want you to think about something. Peter, he's still hearing that rooster crow. He's not thinking about the fish. He's not seeing the fish. But John could. Because John's intimacy with the Lord. John knew, hey, Jesus still loves me. Jesus loves me. Peter, I think, is in a place where he thinks it's over. Red X. Disqualified. He's still hearing that rooster crow. That moment when he's reminded of what he did. John, however, realized, saw the fish, realized this has to be the Lord. And so Jesus is using this miracle, I believe, to bring Peter to a place where he's no longer hearing the rooster, but he's seeing the fish. And then after they eat this meal, he restores him. Do you love me? Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Lord, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Well, feed my lambs. He restored Peter. And he went from hearing the rooster crow to recognizing the miracle of the fish. And if you continue to read through John 21, Jesus, after he meets him, he looks at him and says, now follow me. The same thing when he first met them, after he filled their boats up and their nets up with fish and loaded their boats down with fish, Jesus told them, now follow me. And at that point, they began following Jesus. He's going right back to that place. He's done the miracle of the fish once again. And he says, now follow me. And interestingly, hang on, we're right now through. He tells Peter, let me read these scriptures for you. John 21, when we get down to verse 18. Jesus says this to Peter, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. At a moment when Jesus was arrested and Peter's life was on the line, he denied him. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, because when I was reading and praying this so spoke to my heart deeply. You think, what kind of word is that? To know history tells us Peter was crucified upside down. He didn't want to be crucified in the same way his Lord was. But he died by crucifixion, fulfilling this prophetic word that Jesus gave him. But see, this word was given to a man who didn't pass the test the first time when it was on the line. And listen to what that word says to Peter. That word said to Peter, Peter, you're going to live till you're old. When you're older. And there's going to come a time, and this is the way you're going to die. Peter was encouraged to know that he was going to live to be old, and he was going to be faithful to the Lord, and he would pass the test and even die for Christ. I want to tell you this morning, the place that may have been your most utter failure, that thing which may have brought you the most disgrace, the heart of Jesus is revealed to us this morning, that at His Word, by being obedient to how He leads you, going where He tells you to go, doing what He tells you to do, that He will faithfully restore and bless and use you. And you can be found faithful at His coming. Don't you allow any demon of hell to deceive you this morning into believing that God will not accept your repentance, that God will not release to you to His forgiveness, and that God will somehow refuse to use you for His glory. You may be closer right now to your miracle than you ever dreamed. And what you may most need is the realization that John had in that moment when he was able to recognize after a long night when nothing was happening. He could discern, this is Jesus. Because he knew he was the disciple whom Jesus loves. Knowing that he loves you is one of the greatest revelations you could ever receive. You can fight the hordes of hell with the revelation knowledge that you are loved by God. You can see the mountains moved. You can have faith for that when you realize how much God loves you. Now, I don't believe there's probably anyone in the room this morning, none of us, that have plummeted to the depths of understanding of just how much God loves us. But the more we grow in that knowledge that God so loved us, God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son so that you wouldn't perish and so that you could have life. When you start understanding that, your roots are going to go deeper. So when the wind grows stronger, you're going to stand and you're going to be stable and you're going to be able to fulfill God's will for your life. Our worship team is coming right now. And I'm praying that the rooster will stop crowing in your mind. And the discernment, the revelation will begin to come how much Jesus loves you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. For some, maybe the message you need is he will save you this morning. You may have lived your whole life and you've never confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, dear friend, maybe more than anyone else here this morning, you are closer to your miracle than you ever dreamed. You're one prayer away. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart right now, the Bible says you'll be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and whosoever believes in him will not be ashamed. Goes on to say, faith, it comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You've heard the word. It's all about his leaving heaven, arriving on earth, living a perfect life, dying an atoning death, conquering death, hell, and the grave, being resurrected, and then gloriously ascended to the Father where he prays right now for us. You can know this Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? Our prayer team members are coming to the altar right now. I encourage you, those of you that may not know Jesus right now, why don't you, let me help you for a moment. Let's just bow our heads for a moment, because God has made the plan of salvation so simple. It's about yielding your heart to him and confessing him as Lord. Just pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Just be honest with him. You know that, so tell him. I believe you died on the cross for me, Jesus. I confess you as Lord of my life right now. By an act of faith and an act of my will, I confess, Jesus, you are Lord. And I'm placing my faith, I'm believing that God raised you from the dead. Save me, Lord Jesus. Could you ask him to do that? Save me, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray by your Spirit now you would seal that in the heart of any that prayed that prayer. And I encourage you, if you prayed that prayer this morning, sometime here at this altar time, come and make that known. We're going to be baptizing people this Wednesday night. We would love to baptize you as well. That's your first step of obedience as a believer, is to follow Christ into the waters of baptism. We can talk to you more about that. Maybe there's others you're struggling this morning. And God, through the worship, through what the children presented, through the word, something here this morning, God has spoken to you. This is the the time when we pray for people and believe with people and ask God to touch them, to bless them. Would you come to step out from where you are? Just come on up right now. Nothing to fear. We're just going to love on you, encourage you, share scripture with you. Anyone, you just step out from where you are. We're going to begin to worship now. You come as we begin to sing. Thank you, Lord.
In glory of your presence.
Are there others? You come.
I find rest.
Pray into something specifically right now. I feel like it's something the Lord was letting me see. But I started just seeing chains, and then I was hearing chain smoking. Not here to condemn in any way. I just feel like in this moment that we're to pray, if you're here and you're a chain smoker, I just feel like there's people here you're wanting loose from that. And it's a really hard thing to break. My dad, who died fairly, I believe, younger than I am now, from leukemia, had been a chain smoker his whole life. And I remember times when I was growing up when he tried, and it was just so hard. But you know, there's grace for the things that hold us back. And I just feel like this is the moment when the Lord's wanting to release some grace. to help you. If you'll get your will in alignment, that, Lord, by your grace, this is going to be broken off my life. I want to lead you in a prayer about that right now, okay? And I'm not going to point anyone out or try to embarrass anybody about that. So let's just all agree. Church, could we agree together around this? This would just bring blessing into someone's life this morning. And that someone or those someones are on the Lord's heart. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you just to pray this, if this pertains to you. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to receive your grace, to break the power of nicotine over me. I repent of allowing it to have this hold on me. And so this morning I'm placing it at your feet. And I receive your grace right now. Now let me pray. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his blood right now, I declare over those of you who are bound to this chain smoking, that there is grace in this moment. So in the name of Jesus, be loosed. Be loosed from it right now. May it be uprooted and removed from you right now. And may there come great grace, not just grace, but great grace upon you to stand firm, to say no, and to have absolute victory over this. That this day, December the 11th, 2022, you are being liberated from this. So be loosed. Be loosed. Be loosed in Jesus' name. And just as a prophetic act, I encourage you to take a real deep breath. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Now let it out and may there be cleansing. God, I pray that you'd restore the ears, the locusts of Eden. I pray that you'd restore any damage to the lungs that's been done. I ask for restoration. I ask for breakthrough. And I ask for healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Be loose. Be loose. Be loose. And I look forward to hearing some good testimonies. Please share those with us. Those have received in this moment. Just receive that by faith right now. Things operate in the realm of the Spirit by faith. Also, Brock, brother, the Lord's just having you highlighted to me when I've been up here during this worship time. And I just feel like the Lord is, I saw like one of those Stairmaster things you walk up on, and the Lord said, you're stepping up, you are moving up. That there's tools already in your toolbox that you haven't been using the way he wants you to use them. But I just see God bringing a breakthrough in that. I see you just breaking out. And I see others just like where you step, they step in behind you. It's just like there's going to be a power of testimony that's flowing through you. And I just see a release of your voice. God's going to begin to show you things, even the different places you go and the people that you work around. And God's going to begin to use you. It's like you have almost a spotlight in your hand. And in conversations, it's like that spotlight's just going to be shining on Jesus. And people are going to be drawn to him through you. So, Father, I pray that you'd bless Brock this morning. I pray that, Lord, this anointing that's already in him would just be increased to greater measure than ever before. And I thank you, Lord, that you are moving him up. Lord, you are, as it were, you are sending him out, Lord, with a new arm in it and a new anointing upon him. So I bless you, brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You receive that. Amen. 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 Jamie, back there, would you stand up, please, dear brother? I feel like the Lord is saying to you, Jamie, that you have demonstrated a faithful walk. You're one of those people that works kind of behind the scenes. But do not be discouraged. You have had much more impact than you realize that you have. And the Lord says that what lies ahead of you is greater than anything that is behind you. We have the word of Scripture for that for us all, but I feel that highlighted for you this morning to be encouraged. And I just believe there's like almost a seer anointing, because what I'm seeing is like someone that's trained in forensics, that kind of thing, can examine even the bones and the remains, that the Lord's going to use you in a way to speak life and bring things that have died in people's lives back to life. And it's not necessarily the volume of your voice, but it's just the confidence that you're going to have when you release these things to them. And so I just encourage you to be open more than ever before to things the Lord's going to begin to show you. I believe there's gifts in you that are going to begin to flourish that haven't flourished before you. Some maybe you don't even recognize that you have. But I just encourage you this morning, the hand of the Lord is upon you in this coming season, to step into it. Step into it with fullness. Step into it with confidence. You're a fine brother. You're a good brother. And the Lord has been using you, but He's going to really use you. And I just encourage you this morning. And I thank you. Thank you for your servant heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just encourage anyone in the room right now that you're just battling with some discouragement. Maybe you've seen God use you in more powerful ways in the past than He is using you right now. Maybe you've had more opportunities in past seasons than you have in this season. Just realize that God is faithful. And there's a prayer I want to pray before we go this morning over those of you that may be in your place. I just encourage you to just position your hands to receive right now. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you, through your Spirit, would move mightily this morning to encourage, to bless, to strengthen. Lord, I thank you. I thank you as we've learned this morning in the message, Lord, sometimes when change comes and adjustments are required, and we may not be discerning like we need to. So I ask for a higher degree and a higher level of discernment to operate in the room, in the house. Lord, take us all to a greater level of that discernment. I pray that you would encourage people this morning. That Grace House would be a place where the fruit of the Spirit is much and the gifts of the Spirit are flourishing and people are being healed. People are being saved. People are being healed. Lord, people are being sent forth to the nations. Thank you, Lord. People are walking out prophetic assignments. And God, we just pray for the outpouring, the release of a greater measure of your river and your anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. So, saints of God, be encouraged today. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged today, because He didn't allow their nets to break. He's not going to allow ours to break. And amen, amen. This altar remains open. God bless you for being here today. May you go forth. May His hand be upon you. May you have a blessed week. Hope to see you Wednesday night. And again, if you want to be baptized, please let us know if you haven't already. Be blessed.